God, you call us to go where Christ leads. Turn us from the ways of the world. Guide us to fullness of joy in the Spirit, where bodies and souls rest secure. And grant us strength to follow the way of the cross, which frees us to love one another for the sake of all creation. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand as you're able for the call to worship. We gather to worship our God of wonder. Our God who is great and mighty.
With arms stretched out, welcome us into the fold.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us worship God. Please remain standing as you're able and turn in the Glory to God hymnal to number 738. O Master, let me walk with thee. The proof of God's amazing love is this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us to wash away our sins. Because we have faith in Him, we dare to approach the throne of God with confidence, asking for forgiveness of our sins. So in faith and in penitence, let us go to the throne of God using first the prayer of confession printed in the bulletin, and then praying together in silence. Let us pray. God of mercy, we confess that we too often give in to the yearnings of the flesh. We have impure thoughts. We idolize those who misuse power. We harbor jealousies and are quick to anger. We neglect to care for others and gratify our own desires. Forgive us, O God, and cleanse us of our sin. Lead us to ways of love, joy, and peace. Send your Spirit to engender patience, kindness, and generosity, and lead us to be gentle in our care for all of your people. Amen. Hear the good news. Who's in a position to condemn us? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. And Christ prays for us. So hear the good news of the gospel and believe that in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, our sins are indeed forgiven. We're new creatures able to live together in peace and in love. So now, as grateful, forgiven Christians, let's stand together and sing glory to God. Having received the peace of God's forgiveness, let's pass that peace to one another. May the peace of Christ be with you.
Let us pray. Faithful God, how blessed are we who are called by the waters of baptism to be the children of God. Guide us by the Spirit of truth to hear your word of life you speak, and to give all glory, honor, and praise to you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I'm going to be reading from Luke chapter 9, verses 51 through 62. That can be found on page 70 of your pew Bible if you would like to follow along. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. But they did not receive him, because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me go and bury my Father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. Jesus said to him, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Holy wisdom, holy words, thanks be to God.
Lexi, would you like to come forward for the children's sermon? Today we are reading a scripture that Paul wrote to the Galatians. And in that, he talks about freedom. When I say the word freedom, what do you think? Well, I think a lot of people think about a holiday that we've got coming up, the 4th of July. You think about freedom with that? Because we think of our country being a free place to live. And a lot of times when we think of freedom, we think of what we can do here that maybe we couldn't do if we lived somewhere else or something. But Paul has a different idea of freedom. Paul talks about freedom as being the ability to do God's will through the Holy Spirit and not have to just follow laws, okay? So if we let the Holy Spirit lead us, then we can do things like have joy and peace and love. Instead, and if we have those, then we'll be keeping the law because those are good things. Let's pray together. Lord God, we are so grateful that you give us your Holy Spirit, that you can guide us to be free. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. I am grateful to Josh and Debbie for doing that. They moved it up 2 weeks. Originally, it was going to be in July while I was going to be on vacation, and I love the saxophone, so they moved it up for me, and thank you so much. Our next scripture reading is from Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 5, beginning with verse 1 and then going to verse 13 through 25. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love, become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like that. I'm warning you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth in the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As we approach Independence Day, July 4th, it's natural for Americans to reflect on freedom and what freedom means to us. Historically, this country was ruled by a monarch, a single ruler in England, who could implement taxes that would be paid by colonists, yet sent to England to be spent however King George saw fit. Paying such taxes were decried as taxation without representation and led to protests such as the Boston Tea Party, which was a protest against British taxes on tea. Freedom came to be defined as freedom from oppression and freedom from taxation without representation. In religious thought, free will has been defined as the idea that we have the freedom to choose God or not choose God. Some denominations, particularly Arminians, named after Jacob Arminius, a critic of John Calvin, put a very heavy emphasis on the power of humans to choose salvation or not. John Calvin's emphasis on the sovereignty of God, as demonstrated by Paul's concept of predestination, emphasizes God's choosing us. So, in today's scripture, Paul talks about freedom. Apparently, there was a problem with a group that has been called the Judaizers. Judaizers believed that to be truly Christian, you had to begin by becoming a Jew and follow all the rules that the Jews followed. Paul, raised a devout Jew and trained as a Pharisee, rejected that legalistic position. One of the key rules for Jews was the requirement of circumcision as a sign of the covenant between God and Jews. The Judaizers were requiring Gentiles who became Christians to get circumcised. Paul rejects this requirement and makes the argument that choosing to be circumcised is choosing the law over God's free grace. On the other hand, some called libertines were saying that the absence of law and a regime of grace meant that Christians were free to indulge themselves however they wanted. Such freedom could extend to fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, says Paul. Paul calls these works of the flesh. He does not mean that physical things are bad and spiritual things are good. He means that indulging in physical desires, particularly those that hurt God or hurt neighbor, are not loving. Mark Douglas, associate professor of Christian ethics at Columbia Theological Seminary, points out that these desires are not necessarily just physical. Idolatry and sorcery could be called spiritual. The common characteristic of the desires, he says, are that they're disordered. Indulging in the physical desires for their own sake are not edifying. That is, they do not enrich spiritual lives. Paul's point is that we can live without laws to guide us if we allow the Holy Spirit to guide us. If the Holy Spirit is guiding us, our behavior will reflect the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If one is reflecting the fruits of the Spirit, the laws will not be broken. Not because the Christian's trying so hard to follow laws, but because the love of God that guides will preclude unlawful behavior. Consequently, freedom from the law becomes a higher calling, not libertine behavior that sins mightily that grace might abound. Once we reflect the freeing love of God, we want to respond in love that reflects the fruits of the Spirit reflected by Paul, listed by Paul. The freeing love of God frees us to love. Love, according to Paul in the famous love chapter of 1 Corinthians 13, does not seek its own. Or in other words, is not selfish. All too often, those who are screaming about freedom are wanting to act selfishly and do what they want to do, regardless of the consequences to others. Such freedom from restrictions, even the limitations of love, is not true freedom. It is slavery to physical desires. God's love provides us freedom to live lives free from enslavement. Mark Douglas puts it this way: Christian freedom does not look like living an unencumbered life. The idea that freedom means the absence of encumbrances may be popular, but it does not hold weight. Freedom is not the absence of entanglements. Entanglements are the means by which freedom becomes meaningful. Douglas continues, freedom is not separation from relationships. It's a feature of relationships that become especially apparent as a result of our relationship with Jesus Christ. End quote. The kind of love and relationships that Paul is talking about is not encouraging self-sacrifice, but unconditional love. Unconditional love, or neighbor love, is not selfish, but follows the golden rule: do unto others what you would have them do unto you. And likewise, do not do unto others what you would not want them to do unto you. Paul's emphasis is on equality. He says it this way: do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. End quote. And he also emphasizes reciprocity. Don't bite and devour one another, he says. So being a slave to one another is being attuned to the needs of the other without need of compensation. Not devouring one another is not letting a relationship become selfish to the point that one is using the other for their own appetites. Living the freedom Paul describes molds us into the kind of people God created us to be. First, loving. That is, living what William Barclay describes as unconquerable benevolence, meaning that no matter what a person may do to us by way of insult or injury or humiliation, we will never seek anything else but their highest good. Second, joy that comes from living according to God's purpose for our lives, rather than some fleeting happiness that comes from some earthly triumph. Third, peace is the tranquility and serenity resulting from knowing that our future is in God's hands. Fourth, patience, which is best represented by God's persistent, long-suffering, forbearing, forgiving attitude toward us. Fifth, kindness, which helps those in need. Sixth, generosity, which is willing to get involved. Seventh, faithfulness, sometimes defined as fidelity or trustworthiness, which means that the person is reliable. Eighth, gentleness, which is used in the New Testament to mean several things, including being submissive to God's will, being teachable, and being considerate of others. Finally, self-control, which means a person's able to resist the desires that would lead them away from God and the love of neighbor and turn toward greater good. Sometimes controlling our desires is like controlling a 500-pound gorilla, which reminds me of the time a man took his golfing gorilla to the golf course And he bet the course pro that the gorilla could beat him in a game of golf. The pro said he'd take that bet. The pro teed up at the par 5 first hole and sent his tee shot 300 yards right down the middle. The pro looked at the gorilla and said, "Beat that." The gorilla's owner teed up the ball, handed the gorilla a 1 wood, which the gorilla promptly used to knock the ball 500 yards down the center of the fairway right next to the flag. The pro shook his head, got out his wallet, and paid the bet, saying, "I can see where this is headed," and walked off. The man walked with the gorilla to the first green, handed the gorilla a putter, and whap! The gorilla hit the ball 500 yards. It seems like some people go through life with no self-control, solving every problem by hitting the ball 500 yards. It's been said that if your only tool is a hammer, every problem looks like a nail. God gives us the tools through the Holy Spirit to live in freedom. Freedom that loves, exercising love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. May we define freedom as God defines freedom. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Having heard the Word of God read, sung, and proclaimed, let us stand together and say what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. What do you believe? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please remain standing as you're able and turn in the Glory to God hymnal to number 720, Jesus Calls Us. There's only one Lord and God, from whom all things come and for whom we live. Let us offer our lives, our tithes, and our gifts to the Lord. Will the ushers please come forward? Let us pray. We praise and thank you, Lord God, for the majesty of your work, the wisdom of your word, and the generosity of your grace. Let the gifts of our lives bear witness to your goodness and mercy, your faithfulness and justice, and your steadfast love for all. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Rejoicing in God's promise of new creation, let us pray to the Maker of heaven and earth, saying, Holy Triune God. We pray for the church. Help us to follow you, guided by your Spirit. Revive our faith as we seek you in this place. Show us how to proclaim your kingdom. Holy Triune God, we pray for our communities. Open the doors of this congregation. Let strangers find welcome here and make us ready to meet Christ in them. Holy Triune God, we pray for the world. Bring peace and restoration to all in need. Deliver us from malice and temptation. Set us free to share your Spirit's gifts. Holy Triune God, we pray for the earth. Put out fires that put life and livelihood at risk. Bring rain to parched lands. Teach us how to care deeply for your creation. Holy Triune God, we pray for loved ones. You know the struggles and concerns of all. Take away their fear, pain, and doubt, for you are a God who works wonders. Holy Triune God, gracious God, keep us working and praying for the coming of your holy realm of peace, when we will share abundant life with you through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Above all, we give you thanks, O God, that nothing can separate us from your love in Christ Jesus, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now please turn in the Glory to God hymnal to number 724, O Jesus, I Have Promised, and stand as you're able.
Amen.
Having heard the word of God to you through the Holy Spirit, I charge you to go out into the world in peace. Celebrate the freedom God has given us by exercising the fruits of the Spirit. Exercising love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And now may the grace, mercy, peace, and power of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and abide with you now and forevermore. Amen.